Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Campaigning ahead of the New Hampshire primary is kicking into high gear, and it's getting ugly. Former President Trump said this about former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley on Fox.
She's not going to make it. She has no chance. She's got no way. Maggie's not going to be with her.
CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns with more.
I think what Nikki Haley here is facing is a enthusiasm or intensity gap. You talk to Trump supporters, and of course, they're very enthusiastic about him. But when you talk to Haley supporters, it's more of how can we stop Trump, not necessarily how can we boost Haley.
The New Hampshire primary is Tuesday. Hunter Biden's agreed to be questioned by congressional Republicans about his business dealings. Correspondent Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
The president's son will sit for a closed-door interview with the House Oversight Committee February 28th. The latest step in a protracted negotiation and standoff between Hunter Biden and congressional Republicans. Republicans say they want to investigate Biden's foreign business dealings. Hunter Biden says it's a politically motivated probe, and Democrats say there's been no evidence of any wrongdoing by the president.
Meanwhile, crisis averted again. Congress has approved a temporary spending bill to avert a government shutdown. Texas Republican Chip Roy was not on board with the deal.
It does not matter who's sitting in the speaker's seat or who's got the majority. We keep doing the same stupid stuff.
Some scary moments for passengers on an American Airlines flight that slid off a runway at New York's Rochester International Airport yesterday. Brian Potvin was on board.
So the plane landed like a normal landing, and then we were coming around a turn, and I guess the runway was icy, and when we came around the turn, we skidded off into the grass.
No one was injured. North Korea says it tested a new kind of nuclear weapon. Reporter Alex Jensen is in Seoul.
This underwater nuclear weapon system has been under development for years and is of the kind that state media previously claimed could trigger a radioactive tsunami.
While Madonna fans are expressing themselves with a new lawsuit against the Material Girl because she's always so late to the stage. The suit filed in New York accuses her of false advertising and negligent misrepresentation because she didn't get into the groove at her shows at the Barclays Center last month until 10:30 p.m. They were supposed to start at 8:30. It's not the first time Madonna's been sued for starting her shows late in 2019. A lawsuit alleged it was a breach of contract between the singer and the ticket buyer. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. 1 in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Buggyhout, Civic Media News.
The Pack packed their bags for California. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night at Levi's Stadium in the divisional playoffs, kickoff 7:15. San Francisco with a powerful offense. Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander unable to practice but doing all he can to overcome his ankle injury suffered last week.
I was in treatment about 5-6 hours every day, you know, and then at night, more treatments.
College football, the Badgers assistant defensive coach and top recruiter, Colin Hitchler leaving Wisconsin, he's been hired by Alabama's new head coach, Kalen DeBoer, to join the Crimson Tide. NBA, the Bucks head to Detroit for a weekend series against the Pistons. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' 40-point loss in Cleveland Wednesday night.
It seemed like we came out in a management type mode. You know, we came out a little bit slow. And knowing that they're a fast-paced team, they play even faster at home. They play better at home and just they got right to it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy with a few off and on flurries through the day. We may see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. It's going to be cold too with a high of 7 above the wind chill. Single digits to teens below zero most of the day. Tonight, clear 7 below. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 10. We are going to warm it up. We're talking 30s for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
That's a lie. That's a lie, Don Rue. We are not live at our Lake Wissota studios. We are in beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin. Downtown Waukesha, where in this next window here, only a pane of glass separates me from Greg Bach. You're having the worst time playing TV weatherman over
there. It's very weird. Like, I had to point this way to point to you.
I know, because the camera's here, but you're here, but I actually have to point there to the box. It's a convergence of media. It's a beautiful, frightening thing.
I've never felt more trapped.
I've never felt closer to you, because literally I've never been closer to you. And here we're going to start with a story right away, because there's nothing more humbling than, you know, getting your come up in a snowy parking lot. Remember day before yesterday, he talked about stepping in a snowbank and his foot getting all wet, and I made fun of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go for it, Pat. What's up?
Well, I parked in the parking lot, which is behind the building here in downtown Waukesha. Thought we'd go in the back door. We parked right next to the back door. Nay. He says, nope, we gotta go around. We can only get in through the front door. So we have to get out of the parking lot. Is there a path shoveled for poor Greg Bach to get from the parking lot to the front door? Again, nay. He has to traverse this big snowbank behind the trash dumpster, which means I had a choice to wear snow boots today. I chose tennis shoes, thinking we were going to be parking right next to the back door of the building, and now my feet are wet.
Cold. I'm not laughing at you.
Yes, you are. You're laughing because of me, and I deserve every bit of it.
I appreciate the sympathy that only can be brought on by personal experience.
By humility. Yes, that's exactly it. So this is fun. Thanks for, you know, letting me invade the place.
Of course.
Definitely not a typical day for you, as we're running around plugging in laptops and testing cameras and computers.
No, it's a normal day for me. If Luke Mathers is listening, it's a total normal day. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing in my job. I promise.
He is, and more. So, well, this is nice. We don't have to use the royal we here. I was down here for an education conference. Todd Alba was there as well. He and I spoke at the reception yesterday because Civic Media was a sponsor for the 103rd State Education Conference. A lot of great conversations. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley was there. And there's much that we're going to share over the coming days, of course, about the importance of education and protecting public education in Wisconsin. So it was a real pleasure to be part of that and then to stick around here so that I could finally do a show from the Waukesha studio, finally get to meet Greg and everybody else here. I'm going to come back later on and meet Jane. I'm going to completely become like, you know, a fangirl type of thing is the term they use today, because I've been listening to Jane on the radio for such a long time, and I'm finally going to get to meet her, so that's going to be lovely.
You've never met Jane?
No.
Oh, wow.
I know. This is a big deal for me.
Or as Owen Wilson would say, wow.
Yes. And then later, going to meet Don Brown and learn more about Waukesha and the programming here on the Shaw, WAUK. And we're going to tell all of you a bit more about Waukesha, because let's be honest here. Most people just think of Waukesha. Most people in greater Wisconsin think, okay, that's that big city. You know, that's the biggest suburb. That's that place next to Milwaukee. Or they think of it in terms of, oh, that's where all the Republicans are because it's a big Republican stronghold. There's more to it than that. There is a lovely community here. As with all lovely communities, some people may not vote the way that you're going to vote, but they're still your neighbors. And so we're going to learn more about Waukesha from a more, I don't know, up close and personal, as they used to say on Wide World of Sports.
They could also think of it as the home of Greg Bach.
That's true. They really could, couldn't they? Will they, though?
No.
I know. Well, we tried.
Yeah.
If you want to ring in and tell us what you think about us being in Waukesha, or little bits of trivia we should know. What else were we going to say that Kristen Lyerly was saying yesterday? People maybe have Les Paul stories or something like that.
If you have any, seriously, listeners, if you have any stories now, granted, you'll probably, unless it's the older folks, and please call in.
Yes.
These stories might be been told to you by your parents or grandparents. But yeah, Les Paul lived here until I think he was in his early teens, and then he made his way out in the world to become one of the most fantastic guitar players, most innovative guitar players, inventor, just all around good guy.
Innovative is right. And yeah, we'll play a little bit of that in the 7 o'clock hour for folks that haven't heard just what kind of level of talent are we talking about. But yeah, if there are things that you would want a statewide audience to know about Waukesha, come give us a call or text us 844-967-2789. Use the Civic Media app as well, or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or comment on our Facebook page, and we'll see it, and maybe we'll put it up on screen as well. Also coming up this morning, we're going to talk about the latest out of Congress, because the game of kick the can that they play with the budget, well, it's already in extra innings. It's going to more extra innings. They're kicking the can down the road again. Now, the good news, of course, is that it means there won't be a government shutdown this weekend. If it's going to happen now, it's going to happen in March. So the government continues to operate, which is good because services continue to be provided. And yet all six of Wisconsin's House Republicans voted no, to say they would rather see the government shut down and see people hurt, apparently. Or they all talk about their border concerns, which has grown so tiring, because how did one member of Congress put it yesterday in chastising the Republicans? It's not like border issues and immigration issues started the day that Joe Biden became president. These problems, these issues have been with us for decades, actually a couple of generations now. And much like healthcare, much like infrastructure, we're still waiting for actual concrete proposals from Republicans, not just close the borders, not just cut all spending. What do you actually want to do? What do you want to accomplish? And instead, we're seeing folks use the border and use immigration and use, you know, the suffering of people who don't look like them for political purposes. And that appears to be what motivates the six House Republicans from Wisconsin who voted no to keeping the government open. Now, we'll talk to Kia Vakila as well, Courier Newsroom national correspondent. While I was at the education conference in downtown Milwaukee yesterday, I rang up Kia for our usual Thursday afternoon chat to play back on Friday mornings because he's out on the West Coast there. So you'll hear a little background noise during the interview, but that's why that was. Let's see. We also have Mark Jacob, of course, coming in to review media coverage of the Iowa caucus and Donald Trump's trials. Dan Schumacher will be here to help us look ahead to tomorrow night's Packer playoff game in San Francisco against the 49ers. And at 6:14, we don't have much to talk about for sports other than that, Greg, to speculate on how things are going to be looking tomorrow night. I will admit to being nervous because the Packers do not have a good track record in recent playoff appearances against San Francisco. Now, granted, this goes back, you know, between 4 and 10 years ago, but it's I'm I'm a little nervous. Put
yeah,
it that way.
I mean, we had Paul Noonan on yesterday. He's one of our sports gurus, and he spoke that, you know, the 49ers are an amazing team this season, but he did say that they're, I guess, I don't know, this is science, but he said that the quarterback for the 49ers, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Brock Purdy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy. He's either going to play football or be an old Western villain. he has, I guess, smaller hands than most quarterbacks, and he doesn't do well in the rain.
Okay.
And I guess there's supposed to be some rain happening. So he gave that as a notion of positivity, if you will. Okay.
Hey, we'll take whatever we can get. And
exactly.
And again, you know, the bar isn't set that terribly high, which means that if the Packers perform to the level that they did last week, remember how fun that was?
Oh,
I mean, that was fun top to bottom.
That was fun. That was a fun cake with a fun dip on top.
I would love that. I would love to do that again so much. You can catch the Packers on Civic Media on WRCO, Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Bucks' next play in Detroit, that'll be Saturday afternoon, and then they stick around and play in Detroit again on Monday night. So you can hear the game tomorrow on Oshkosh Air Support. Also news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team is in action tonight. 11th-ranked Badgers hosting Indiana at the Kohl Center. FS1 has the TV for the radio. You tune it to your Civic Media app, and you point it toward one of these stations, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, all have Badger basketball, and that will be again against Indiana. The Marquette men's basketball team is at St. John's tomorrow, and then the Badger women's hockey team, ranked number 2 in the nation and riding a 5-game winning streak, they are in Mankato to take on Minnesota State today and tomorrow. So there's a look at your sports at 6:17. Forgot to do temperatures here across Civic Media land at 6 o'clock on this fine morning. The temperatures look like this. Way up back home in Lake Wissota, it's 0 degrees right now. Hayward's at 9 below. Park Falls is at minus 1. Wausau minus 2. Green Bay is at 10 above. La Crosse, 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Same with Wisconsin Rapids, 0 at 0. Oshkosh, 9 above. Madison, 3 above. And here in Waukesha, it is 7 degrees. Cindy from Appleton is calling in for us this morning. Cindy, good morning. Thanks for calling in. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, but I just had a suggestion for Mr. Mino. Buy a bag of oranges and an orange juicer and make your own.
Oh, Cindy, you're listening to that. You're calling into Up North News Radio. You want Mino and the mayor. My apologies.
Oh, we got to get you the right number.
We got crosswired well, there.
We'll get you.
Whoever was talking about squeezing the orange juice,
that sounds like Mino.
That sounds like it. All right, well, now we know what we're talking
about.
We'll
pass the message along, though. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
That's funny. It was going to happen inevitably, you know, because, again, when you grow a network like Civic Media, and we now have some places have local morning shows at 6 a.m., some places have local morning shows at 8 a.m., which means a couple of different phone numbers that we're using. And so now I'm curious. We're going to have to figure out how we can work orange juice into the rest of today's conversation.
We're just going to start talking smack, but say we're Mino and the mayor and just giving like, no, you should leave your husband. My name is Mino. I'm just kidding. Don't fire me.
I'm sure Luke is entertained by all of this. Oh, wait. I think he's calling in right now. We'll go take that and take this pause. And when we come right back, we'll unpack some more of the news. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north, even when I'm not. Back in just a bit.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination.
Simon and Garfunkel released this tune, Homeward Bound, on this day in 1966. We're Waukesha bound on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. Not too far away, you'll find the community of West Bend, north of Milwaukee, and that's where Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be visiting on Monday. Now, I worked at the radio station in West Bend, WBKV, oh gosh, a very, very long time ago now. It would have been 1987, 88, maybe a little bit of 89 in there as well. So I'm familiar with the community. I'm familiar with the issues. As a very young talk radio host back then, I recall that my former employer up there said, well, if you're ever on a slow day and folks aren't calling in, just refer to Social Security as welfare and the phones will light up. I would love to say that I'm kidding. I am not. And again, I was what, 23, I think, at the time. First time I thought that I had to go with it, and I tried it and it worked. It was amazing to watch the phones let me go, I've earned that. I've earned it. And so now you hear some of these, you know, same people saying, well, we got to cut the budget. Got to cut the budget. And like, well, they would go after Social Security. No, they wouldn't. I've earned that. And the cycle repeats itself.
So. We could do, the Bears have a better winning record than the Packers.
And then again,
nothing.
Yeah. Right. So Kamala Harris will be up there in, you know, the deep red Republican parts of Washington County, but doing so in part to mark the ongoing fight to restore women's health care rights. If that seems a little odd to you, it shouldn't, because look at the votes that were held in Kansas and Ohio and more states, red states, where people are trying to get the issue on the ballot. Because it's what the people want, not the extremist politicians, not an extreme few in the general population that want abortion to be banned, but all kinds of people who are good Republicans and good conservatives are saying government should not be controlling my body or any woman's body in that way. And the Biden administration knows that, and Kamala Harris is certainly going to be talking about that to mark 51 years since Roe v. Wade, although it is, again, no longer the law of the land. We'll talk about that with Kia Vakil coming up in just a bit. In Washington, as we mentioned before, Congress has now passed, both houses have passed and sent to President Biden a short-term spending bill that would avert a looming partial government shutdown, and it would fund federal agencies into March. It got passed with pretty much all Democrats in the House. The Republicans were basically split down the middle. There were 106 House Republicans that voted for it, or 107 Republicans voted for it, 106 Republicans voted against it. What does this mean? It means that even though Republicans have a majority, it's a thin majority, and yet they have not been able to get anything done this year without Democratic votes. Because they are so fractured amongst themselves. Again, it's a relatively small group that wants to hold the government hostage, that wants to shut the government down, which is always a big political loser for any group that tries it. And that's always been Republicans over the years. But they can't come together themselves enough to actually do business. Now, remind people again that Democrats in the House in the first 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency with that same thin majority of about four seats, got things done like the American Rescue Plan, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the CHIPS and Science Act, no shortage of things that are creating jobs and are going to have benefits to the economy, on and on and on. This is supposed to be the time for Republicans to shine and to say, okay, now we have a thin majority, but we are going to show how we would do things with infrastructure, with healthcare, with spending, with education. And all they've really done is every couple of months or so, they threaten a government shutdown. Eventually, they have to get some Democratic votes, and then they squabble amongst themselves. And that's what's going to happen again. There could have been things more productive, but you know, as the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you know, reached out to Wisconsin's Republican members, one thing kept coming through in their comments: the border. They want to do something about the border. They all say we, you know, it's Biden's open borders, and we've got to do something about it. And yet, I'm not seeing what that something is that they'd like to get accomplished. It's become just a It's almost Pavlovian, you know, for them. Put a microphone in their face and they're going to talk about the border as a way to, I guess, what, scare some of their constituents rather than saying, here's what we would like to do for you. Look, if you're a member of Congress on the border, if you're in Texas, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, Southern California, I totally get that. If you're in Wisconsin, your concern with migration ought to be with solving the problem. We have immense labor shortages in Wisconsin. We have, as I mentioned yesterday, John Torinas, a well-known business figure down here in Southeast Wisconsin, writing about how Republicans need to stop demonizing immigration and start looking for ways to actually make it happen legally, with good vetting, with increased border protection, the whole package. But what you saw from the six Republicans voting no yesterday was, well, if the government shuts down, that's fine because it forces us to do something about the border, but they won't tell you what it is that they want to do. On the Senate side, you have Ron Johnson again speaking out against fellow Senate Republicans who are trying to come up with a border deal and aid for Ukraine, where he again continues to parrot the Putin talking points about this ought to be a negotiated settlement. He made a comment to the effect of, you know, Russia's got nukes, and so, of course, this is going to be a negotiated settlement. Really? We have nukes? Do we just assume that, you know, anytime we got into a skirmish, did anybody think we were going to use nuclear weapons in Afghanistan or Iraq? No. And yet Ron Johnson is so quick to want to excuse Putin and the Russians and just cleave off part of Ukraine for them. You know, I started off the week mentioning that over the weekend, I made a TikTok video. I did a few costume changes, you know, where you could tell I was either a Republican or a Democrat, or I was Zelensky standing in a battlefield in Ukraine. I put on this Russian hat. I was Putin. And, you know, Putin and Johnson were kind of saying the same things, whether they meant to or not. And I thought it was just weird that this little video I put up on my personal TikTok at Pat Kreitlow, you know, got like 10,000 views in the first hour. It's up to 40,000 views now. So clearly it has struck a chord with people who are looking at, you know, being able to spoof Wisconsin's senator for talking completely in line with what the Russians want, as if that's going to stop Putin. So that, again, is what we need to be working on in Congress. We need to be working on ways to aid Ukraine. We need to be looking at ways to strengthen the border, but we need to be working on all of those other very important issues, and they're not. Now, it's an election year. Some people are saying, well, we don't want to give Biden a win in an election year. That's the same mentality that allowed them to steal a couple of Supreme Court seats, saying, well, it's an election year. We can't actually do our jobs because there's a campaign going on. Well, then maybe we shouldn't pay members of Congress during election years if they're not going to get anything done anyway. And then finally, we've got Donald Trump going birther on Nikki Haley, which, again, is tied to these border issues, a tinge of racism nobody should be comfortable with. Let's continue some of these talking points about the news with Kia Vakil. Talked to him late yesterday while I was at that Milwaukee convention. You'll hear that next on Up North News Radio.
This is 93.5 The Tap, the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
2024 is bringing more cheese production online across the United States. The question? Is it needed? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's the question that Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverAg, poses. He said with more cheese processing plants coming online in states like South Dakota as well as Kansas, looking at the current cheese market, it begs the question, do we need them?
How much cheese do we really need? We're only down 4%. And, you know, man, oh, man, we're looking at a $15 class 3 milk price. And even with a stronger whey market, I mean, this cheese market is just having a tough time. I think, you know, one saving grace has definitely been our partner to the south, Mexico there. I mean, they're up about 20% from a year ago on total cheese purchases, while our friends in Asia are down 20%, namely South Korea and Japan.
Bryce Windecker, broker analyst with EverAg, he says in Southeast Asia, one of the challenges that cheese faces is the devaluation of their currency versus the dollar. Dairy complex not much brighter on a Friday morning, but corn and beans are gaining back a little ground. Numbers are next.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped another 2¾ cents, down to $1.44. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday was down 3 cents at $1.47. The AA butter, that dropped a penny and a half to close at $2.56 and a half per pound. Class 3 milk for February is down 3 right now, 15.62 a hundredweight. March closed down 9, 16.05 a hundredweight. Currently, March corn is up a penny. December new crop up a half at 4.76. March soybeans are up 4.5 cents. November new crop up 4 at 11.95 and a half. July new crop wheat right now up 3 cents at 6.07 a bushel. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified
mostly cloudy with a few off and on flurries through the day. We may see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. It's going to be cold too, with a high of 7 above the wind chill, single digits to teens below zero most of the day. Tonight, clear 7 below. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 10. We are going to warm it up. We're talking 30s for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at wiscaregivercdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All
right, we're back, and as we often do on Friday mornings, we talk to Kia Vakil. I think most folks we've explained by now because of his location on the West Coast. We talk to Kia late on Thursdays to talk to you early on Fridays, and that is the case, especially with me here in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area. We're at an education conference, and so we're actually going to get into some education issues in a bit. But there's plenty of other news to cover this week. So, Kia, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, so we're past Iowa, and it's off to New Hampshire, seems to be the cliche that is going on this week. The setup for New Hampshire is that, again, Trump doesn't have a singular opponent with, DeSantis and Nikki Haley continuing to, split the difference here.
Yep.
Is there any reason to think that's going to change, that Nikki Haley is actually surging to the point where this could become a two-person race, or is that too much to hope for?
I think it's probably too much to hope for. I think the odds of her winning New Hampshire are very low, especially in a three-person race. I'd say next to nothing. She may finish a strong second, and that may lead DeSantis to drop out. I'm not sure what he thinks is a good outcome for him at this stage. He finished second in Iowa, so I guess he's holding on to that. But both of them are playing for second, so ultimately it doesn't matter. Even if one of them drops out, I'm not sure, and it is a three-horse race at this point, I'm not sure, there's no guarantee that even the majority of their voters would swing to the other person. And we saw Trump win the Iowa caucus with a clean majority. So, and New Hampshire is one of the only states that demographically is not ideal for him. He's going to romp in pretty much, 45 at least of the other states. So, it's ultimately doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not that Nikki Haley's going to take him down or Ron DeSantis is going to take him down. It's, he's going to take himself down, if at all, either through, the many courtroom trials that he's in, or having another Access Hollywood moment, I guess, if people think that he's vulnerable, that way. But in the meantime, he continues to have this hold over a part of the electorate. And I guess for DeSantis and Nikki Haley, the question becomes, there's like a 1 month break almost until the South Carolina primary, a little closer to DeSantis's Florida. This essentially becomes a war of attrition, whether DeSantis or Nikki Haley run out of cash basically and can't go on more than anything that they could do to each other, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And now you're starting to see Trump really ramp up attacks on Nikki Haley because, DeSantis is dead in the water. He may never actually be able to run a national campaign again based on how the last year has gone. Nikki Haley has actually positioned herself reasonably well for 2028, assuming, Trump doesn't run again.
We have a democracy. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's basically, whoever finishes second in New Hampshire, may have an argument for staying in. The other person probably should drop out, but a lot of it will be money. DeSantis has burned through hundreds of millions of dollars at this point, I believe, through his campaign and a super PAC. That month will tell you a lot.
It sure will. And in the meantime, when I talk about a former President Trump being his own worst enemy, for most people, if they were to get tossed out of a courtroom because they couldn't shut their yap, it would hurt them. Donald Trump this week is actually recognizing it would be a good thing if the judge in one of his many trials were to toss him out of the courtroom. The judge is in a no-win position, really, in trying to make this very serious court case continue to be treated like a serious court case.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's literally, he's making a mockery of the system, which has its flaws, but, he's pushing every single button and limit he can push, and, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't envy those judges. They're being swatted, they're having, SWAT, which is a term for, when someone prank calls the cops and has them show up to your home with SWAT equipment or guns. We're seeing all sorts of political threats and violent threats. So, both he and both Trump and his supporters are really making life pretty miserable for these judges.
And then there's the things that would be more likely to affect Americans, including a potential government shutdown. So as of our conversation late Thursday, we don't seem to be on the precipice of that necessarily, but there's certainly, we're so terribly far from any kind of a deal, because House Republicans still don't have any way of saying that they would go along with what Senate Republicans and Democrats are talking about, right?
Correct. So the Senate on Thursday passed, you know, a short-term bill to avoid a shutdown, which would, you know, happen this weekend. They passed it in bipartisan fashion, but that now goes to the House, which is an absolute disaster still. Republicans have a smaller majority than they did when they ousted Kevin McCarthy because of retirements and resignations and illnesses. So, you know, it is likely that the House will pass this. There's a storm headed for D.C. So, but, you know, nothing's a guarantee. You know, the House will probably pass it with Democratic votes, and that could cause Mike Johnson to be challenged or pushed out of the Speaker's role again, following Kevin McCarthy going through that a few months ago. So the fundamental dynamics haven't changed at all. You have a Republican majority that is completely unable to function or agree on very much of anything or get the necessary number of votes, and a far right wing, which is extremely bold in the Republican House, that is just chopping off its leaders' heads every couple months. So, you know, this is no way to govern the biggest economy in the country, you know, in the world, and one of the most powerful countries in the world. This is,
yeah, I thought the writer strike was over. Why are we seeing more reruns out of House Republicans? We need a new plot line besides off with the next speaker's head.
I mean, it is a group of anti-government far-right extremists. So this is what happens when you elect hundreds of those.
What do I always say? Those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it. Let's get to examples where the Biden administration is actually trying to help Americans through what they're doing. Let's talk about overdraft fees and you know, what's being proposed and what could happen differently with Americans who feel like they're always over a barrel when they're fighting some of these big financial institutions.
Yeah. So, you know, overdraft fees are, you know, a lot of people have experienced them. I've experienced them when I was, you know, younger, and living paycheck to, like, very much paycheck to paycheck. That's what happens when a bank charges you, you know, if you withdraw money and it takes your bank account into the negatives below zero, they can charge you an overdraft fee. Those can be anywhere from, you know, a few bucks to $30. I think the average one is about $26, $27. And that is a huge source of income for the banks, because a huge number of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, have less than $500 in their accounts at any given time. So it's a pretty predatory way to do business. And they make an estimated $8 billion a year based on overdraft fees. They mostly impact, you know, Black people, other households of color, poor, you know, lower income earners. And so this proposed rule from the Biden administration would restrict overdraft fees, and they could, you know, drop to as little as $3. And so they've proposed a couple different numbers. It's like $3, $6, $7, and $14. And then they're going to go through the rulemaking process, get input from both the industry and consumers and, you know, ordinary people, and then finally make a decision. But, you know, that could save a lot of, you know, working class families money every year and really start to reform a very unfair banking system.
Let's turn now to some state legislatures, because you cover all of that for Courier Newsroom. And also Kia has a biweekly newsletter you should be looking for at couriernewsroom.com. And, you know, obviously we've talked about the disconnect in the Wisconsin legislature working on things that, frankly, Wisconsin families aren't looking for. I'm in the Milwaukee area for an education conference, and extreme education bills are certainly showing up in the hopper in other state legislatures, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, you know, Florida continue with its anti-LGBTQ legislation. You know, they're trying to ban any sort of rainbow flag from, you know, classrooms or anything like that, public institutions. In Iowa, they want to make it anyone who provides quote unquote obscene material to minors, force them to register with the sex offenders registry. And that could just be a book with a gay person in it. You know, we're seeing efforts to loosen child labor laws in Florida, which Iowa did last year. We're seeing continued, you know, efforts to restrict teachers and how they can teach. We're seeing a load of anti-trans legislation as usual. So it's very much more of the same. And unfortunately, you know, what we're not seeing is, you know, things like Medicaid expansion in Florida and Wisconsin. We're not seeing efforts to make housing more affordable in a lot of places. We're not seeing efforts to reduce drug costs, like, in a serious way. So it's very much more in red states, at least, more culture war nonsense.
And with that, we'll close with something similar to that, as Roe v. Wade, no longer in effect, but we'll be marking on Monday 51 years since originally women received this constitutional protection to control their own bodies. I'm sure that Monday will feature folks on either side of that issue talking about the significance of the Dobbs decision.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I'm sure we're going to see, you know, we have coverage planned. There's going to be a lot of coverage. There's going to be a lot of politicians making statements. You know, the fact is Roe v. Wade no longer exists, unfortunately, for the vast majority of Americans who support it and think it should still be on the books. You have millions of women being forced to give birth, risking serious medical complications, even for women who want to have children. It's just a staggering loss to freedom. And, you know, Monday's another exemplifies that, you know, and, you know, it's going to be a big deal going into an election year.
It is. I have not been able to talk to you this week since last weekend's events and you being a Philadelphia area native. I just have to ask, how you doing after the Eagles?
I'm okay. I have... My Eagles fandom has tempered in the past half decade. I think living across the country and growing into other sports, I'm now a soccer fan, which I'm donning a hat. I have a lot of friends who are still quite angry and frustrated and calling for Nick Sirianni's head, who's the Eagles coach. But, you know, we march onwards.
Ever onwards. Fly, Eagles, fly. Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Courier, Kia, thank you so much. Have a wonderful start to the weekend.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
And a reminder again, you can get the newsletter that Kia puts together. Go to upnorthnewswi.com to read more of Kia's stories, but also go to couriernewsroom.com. That's our parent company. And you can subscribe to newsletters, not just from Kia, but from Mark Jacob, whom you will see in our next hour, Carolyn Fiddler, and much more. Mark's is called Stop the Presses, which is also available at stopthepresses.news if you'd like to learn more about that. And Courier Newsroom has a new podcast called Vibes Only. Hosts Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar call out the BS that is skewing how Americans feel about the economy and democracy itself. Here's an example of some economic news that was long overdue. Walmart is reforming the way that it pays its store managers and is raising pay by a pretty good amount. But before you pat them on the back too much, keep this in mind, it's the first time in at least 10 years that store managers at Walmart are getting a raise. Look at all we've come through, a pandemic, all the scare there with essential workers and workers dying. You had the inflation that comes after the pandemic, no raises at all. So now there's a new structure with raises with the potential for huge bonuses depending on store profit. And that's the other thing to note is profit. Yes, profit is a good thing in terms of driving bonuses, but let's not forget the role that, you know, price fixing sets or price gouging sets when we talk about inflation. I don't want people looking at these pay raises and going, oh, there goes inflation. It doesn't happen just because the men and women on the front lines are getting their first pay raise in 10 years. It has a lot to do with what the CEOs are getting paid and the decisions they're making about price as well. When we come back, we'll have today's history lesson and some musical memories. Again, sign up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Back in a bit.
.5 The Tap. Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-293-7272. That's 800-293-7272. 800-293-7272.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
See, I'm trying to show love is right. Oh, show and tell, just a game I play when I want to say I love you.
I love you too, Al Green.
So show me.
Al Wilson, sorry. You might Al Green and my Al Wilson mixed up. Al Wilson went to number one with this hit in 1974. Al Green was Let's Stay Together.
Correct.
And then there's You Can Call Me Al from Paul Simon. They all jumbled together.
Then there's Al from Home Improvement.
Yeah, but you can't hear him sing well. He's mumbling behind that picket fence.
You know he has a voice.
Yes. Despite my mixing up the names, I'm telling you, Show and Tell, I haven't actually made the definitive list yet. But Show and Tell is on there of my all-time favorite songs.
Really?
Just love it.
Oh.
If I had the range of this man on this, and he really didn't have many other hits after this. He had a few that charted, but nothing came close to Show and Tell. Edgar Allan Poe was born this day in 1809, passed away in 1849. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, was founded on this day in 1920. And by the way, did I mention Show and Tell was the number one song this day in 1974? This is a big birthday in rock and roll history. Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers was born this day in 1939. Nobody of any sort of class level that doesn't think and tell you publicly that the Everly Brothers were one of their big inspirations from the Beatles onward.
Oh, the harmonies.
Yep.
That blood harmony, brothers harmony. Oh, my God.
Yep. Phil Everly passed away in 2014. This was a huge TV anniversary this day in 1953. About 72% of all television sets in the country are tuned into I Love Lucy to watch Lucy give birth. 72% of all the TVs, not the TVs that were on, 72% of all the TVs in the country.
Oh my gosh.
Were tuned to I Love Lucy for that. This day in 1966, we mentioned earlier, Simon and Garfunkel released Homeward Bound. This was the anniversary of the birth of the late Robert Palmer. Was Shania Twain did the reverse version of this video.
Yeah.
You know, with the guys that were heavily made up in the background playing the instruments.
If you watch the video from Robert Palmer, the women, of course, look so smoky and sexy.
Yes.
And in the Shania Twain version, the guys just look so dumb. Like, it's
just vapid. Yes.
I'm abs. I'm abs.
Robert Palmer, born this day in 1949, passed away in 2003.
Duh.
Janis Joplin was born this day in 1943 and passed away in 1970. Dolly Parton's birthday. She is 78 years old today.
America, protect this woman.
Oh,
protect
my gosh,
this woman,
yes,
with your lives.
Yes. I mean, you talk about goodness in the world. Let's see. It's Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg is 42 years old today.
Oh, I don't have a song.
for Secretary Buttigieg?
His hit single, you know.
No, I don't.
Funky Town. It's about transportation.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed that. I should have consulted you on this birthday list earlier. And let's see. Martha Davis. You don't know the name. You know the group. The Motels. It takes all my will and then suddenly last summer. And Martha Davis is 73 years old today. This is National Popcorn Day. This is National Quark Cheese Day. I never thought I'd finally hear about a cheese for the first time. Q-U-A-R-K, quark cheese.
Is it so tiny that you...
No.
As a science joke.
No, I know. I like that. It's also Tin Can Day.
Oh, my God.
Which
what?
Is interesting because are there any cans made of tin anymore?
Ooh.
I remember when everything came in a tin can. Remember the pop tops? Remember, you'd step on those, cut your heel, had to limp on back home, as Jimmy Buffett would say.
You ask a question: Are cans even made of tin anymore?
Is it all aluminum? What are these cans? And it's International Fetish Day.
Yep.
And I don't know where I can go safely on that one, except to say, to all who celebrate.
Cool.
Good for you.
This show is not about kink shaming, but we don't want to really talk about it either.
Nope.
Makes us feel weird.
Hey, let's talk about the laughing tap for a moment, he said, trying to make any kind of a pivot out of here.
You know, it's a fetish
and
laughing.
Going to a comedy club seems to be the way to go.
Yeah.
Mr. Bach, what are you doing there this weekend?
This weekend we have Jessica Michelle Singleton, who is a powerhouse comedian. I swear to God, I think she's like 4'8", but she is just a powerhouse comic. I mean, she stands on stage and she just takes control, and she's so very funny. She's a paid regular at the world famous Comedy Store. She's been all over the country. She's a comics comic. We got three shows, one show tonight, two shows tomorrow. Now I know there's a Packer playoff game tomorrow night.
Oh,
might be saying, well, forget it then. But hey, the game will be done by the late show. So come on down.
There you go.
Tickets are available at laughingtap.com. Very, very affordable. No drink minimums. But yeah, Jessica Michelle Singleton and the rest of the whole crew. Rachel Mack, her opener, she's been on Comedy Central. It's going to be an amazing, amazing weekend.
That's great. And where can they go for more information?
LaughingTap.com.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. The Up North News Daily newsletter is put together by Christina Laurie. We typically talk to her on Tuesdays. Today, she has put together a little something for us here. Just wanted to check the text line here for a moment and make sure I wasn't missing a message. Tin box for saltines. Saltines or sardines?
I remember tin boxes. I remember the tin box for saltines. We had one of those at the house.
Okay. I do not, but... Maybe there's finally...
Is that my old man moments?
I was going to say, I finally don't have the old man moment. Can that be the case?
Back in my day, the saltine crackers were made in a tin, and you ate the tin can just in case because we had nothing else to eat.
In the newsletter, as he was saying, we have my story about the new voting maps, the seven that were turned into the state Supreme Court, and what's going to happen next in terms of getting voters new maps. And then there's kind of a cheese theme going. I see Christina's put in there today. There are some of the top 10 cheeses. I don't know if they're ranked by judges or by sales, but I know that as I'm scrolling through here quickly, they all look really, really good. Also talks about America falling in love with Jordan Love. And if you didn't hear about it earlier this week, she links to the story where CNN's Anderson Cooper unknowingly got a taste of the Packer-Bears rivalry based on the purchase of a hat. So sign up for that and more at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Don Brown talks to us about Waukesha and so much more ahead in our second hour of Up North News Radio.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.